you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In tonight's gospel, bread, it's plain old bread, is on the mind of the people who are following Jesus. A day ago, Jesus miraculously fed a large crowd of people. The gospel tells us it was 5,000 men and then women and children. So it was thousands of people. And Christ did this using only a few small loaves of barley bread and a few fish. He multiplied those things and fed all the people. And now, the people want more. But Jesus calls them out. I tell you for certain that you are not looking for me because you saw miracles, but because you all ate all the food you wanted. He knows exactly why they follow him. They're hungry. But Christ wants them to want the right thing. He tells them, don't work for food that spoils. Work for food that gives eternal life. The Son of Man will give you this food. And then he sums it all up by saying this, God wants you to have faith in the one he sent. The obvious implication being that Jesus is the one God has sent. But the people aren't quite ready to have faith in Jesus. And so they ask Jesus for a sign. Now this sounds a little silly because Jesus did just the day before this, a miraculous sign of giving them bread, giving them fish out of almost nothing. Right after that, to his very disciples, he walked across the water. Jesus has given them signs. But there's a reason that they are asking for a sign. They have no doubt that Jesus is a miraculous and remarkable person. In fact, they recognize that Jesus has done something very similar to what Moses did for them long ago in their past, in their history, as they walked through the wilderness. The problem is, Moses never asked anybody to have faith in him. But Jesus does. And so the people want a sign to know exactly where Jesus stands in relationship to Moses. How do they compare? You see, Moses is the benchmark of a man of faith for the Jewish people. He is the top one. He's the gold standard for what it means to be a friend and a prophet of God. And when I think of gold standards, the way I think of it is, take the Minnesota Twins, for example. They've had a lot of center fielders over the years. But if you're a center fielder for the Minnesota Twins, you know exactly what the gold standard is. You know exactly what the benchmark is. It's Kirby Puckett, number 34. Come on. That's the gold standard. Moses is the Kirby Puckett for the Jewish people. He is their standard. He is what it means to be a true man of God. And so the people ask Jesus for a sign. How does Jesus compare to Moses? Why should they put faith in Jesus when Moses never asked them to do such a thing? What more does Jesus have to offer than Moses? See, God desires that we have faith in Jesus. But so often, we demand from God some kind of proof, some kind of sign, a miracle, a reason why we should put faith in him. We want a sign. It's almost like we want collateral. We have something to give to God. We want collateral to make sure that God's going to make good on what we give God. Sometimes this is exercised out in difficult times of life. We will say, God, if only you would do this for me, then I would have faith in you. If only you would give me this job. If only you would heal my friend. If only you would bless us with a child. If only the Minnesota Vikings would win the Super Bowl, then I would surely believe. But when you think of it, the signs and the proof we ask of God, the things we desire, they are limited to things in this life only. This isn't to diminish those things, to diminish our prayers for blessings that God might want to give us, the prayers of our anguished heart as we pray for healing for our friends. That's not to diminish that. God wants us to bring those things to him. But if our faith is dependent upon signs and miracles from God, what happens to our faith if the next time we need a sign, God chooses not to present himself in the way we think best? Jesus identifies this problem in the bread that God rained down for the people in the wilderness. In John 6:49, Jesus will say to the people, listen, your ancestors ate bread in the desert, bread which God blessed them with and God gave to sustain them. But later, they died. God was merciful to see their needs as they had in the wilderness, and he sees to our needs on earth, but the fact is that our earthly needs are really only part of the story. We need something far more than bread and water. And so Christ has a sign for the people, and admittedly, it's a hard sign for them to receive. He lays it out for them in this chapter. The sign is his flesh and his blood, which, as Luther would say, we receive in, with, and under the bread and wine. Jesus gives us another I am statement in verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. Again, it's exclusive. It's definitive. There's no other way to read it but to say that Jesus is the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who has faith in me will ever be thirsty. And later on in verse 54, he says, if you do eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life. And I will raise you to life on the last day. This sign is before us on the altar tonight. It's why we come together. But it's far more than just a sign. It is a promise. It is the Word of God Himself offered for you. It is, as we discussed in First Communion Education, it's a new agreement. It's a new promise. It's a new contract, a new covenant that will feed you the most important food forever. It is the forgiveness of sins for all who believe it is what Jesus says it is. And the collateral that stands behind this promise is nothing less than the passion of Christ, which we begin to commemorate tonight. It is his betrayal, it is his suffering, his trial, and ultimately his death on the cross. It is his body broken and given for you. It is his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This is Christ's gift that keeps on giving to you to sustain you. To sustain you through those times when life doesn't go your way, when for whatever reason, suffering isn't alleviated. Christ gives us more than a sign. He gives us Himself. All we must do is believe Him and receive it. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.